cause I know, oh, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Oh, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Oh, yes, I can. Because he lives, oh, all fears are gone. And because I know, oh, he holds my future. Life is worth all the living, it's just because he lives. Come on, let's sing it again. Well, because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. Hallelujah. Well, all fear is gone, because I know, oh, he holds my future. Oh, my life is worth all the living just because he lives. One more time with all your heart tonight. Oh, because he lives, oh, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. Yes, all fear is gone, because I know, oh, he holds my future. Oh, my life is worth the living, is just because he lives. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Let's just read a few verses here. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Before we just open tonight's service in prayer, there were a number of requests that I heard about throughout the week that we want to just remember, amen, in prayer tonight. I got a text from Sister Lori Marr, their daughter Faith. I believe she's 4 years old and she's in the hospital with pneumonia. And we want to ask that the church would pray for Faith. Also, Brother Al, he's a pastor there in Texas, and I understand that he's been having some problems with his back and just awaiting just a diagnosis from the doctor. So I want to remember him in prayer. And also, I was told by there were some saints that had just moved, I believe, from the Panhandle area up into North Carolina. And, you know, they were attending church there in North Carolina, but they had relatives back in the Panhandle area. And one of the men of the family, I don't know if it was a nephew or something like that, but one of them, I think it was a nephew that passed. And there was, I believe, the nephew's sister they can't find. So we want to just remember that family in prayer. And also I heard that Sister Betty Brown, Brother Homer Brown's wife, I heard that she wasn't doing very well. So we want to, amen, remember her in prayer as well on tonight. And, you know, just kind of taking those requests before the Lord. And, you know, just lifting them up and just believing God would just touch them, amen, in only a way he can. Brother Troy, if you would come, just take these requests before the Lord, as well as just open the service tonight. Amen. In a word of prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, be counted a privilege and an honor, Lord God, to be gathered here in the sanctuary one more time, oh God. Lord God, we just ask you, oh Father God, to just meet us here, Lord God, in a special way, Lord. Lord, we come under expectation, oh Lord God. Lord God, we don't know, Lord God, what you have in store, Lord God, but Lord, we know that when we come into the house of God, we leave either one or two ways. We either leave worse or we leave better. Lord God, with a sincere heart, Lord God, we lift up sacrificial hand to you, Lord God, and just ask you to just pour out a blessing, oh Lord God. Lord God, no doubt there's many needs, oh Father God, among the congregation, oh Lord God. Lord God, there may be the devil is always fighting, Lord God. We realize that we are under severe attack. But Lord God, we recognize that when we're under severe attack, that there is a blessing, Lord God, right around the corner. We ask you, Lord God, to just anoint our faith this evening, oh Lord God. Lord, to just be able to pull, oh Father God, on your mighty word, Lord, as we nurse, Lord God, from the breasted one and feed our hungry souls, Lord God. Fill our cups, Lord God, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. We're never at a place, Lord, where we feel like we have enough of you, Lord God. We're always seeking and desiring and thirsting, oh Father God, for a closer walk with thee. Lord God, we ask you to look on these requests, Lord God. At our brother Al, oh Lord God, that's having trouble in his back, Lord God. Lord God, you say, Lord, the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, Lord God. Lord God, we're not just any righteous, but we are the righteous of God, oh Lord God. And Lord God, we pray, oh Father God, that you touch our dear brother, Lord God. Lord God, may strengthen his back, Lord God. Take away the pain, oh Lord God, the torment, Lord God, that he may be going through, Lord God. Renew his strength, oh Father God. Lord God, and our sister, Lord, Becky, Lord God, Sister Brown, oh Lord.
Lord, a loyal soldier, Lord God, with her husband, stood by him for many years, Lord, on the battlefield, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you just be with her, Lord God. May the angel of the Lord, oh Father God, just sit beside her right now, Lord God. May she feel the presence of Almighty God right now, Jesus, Lord God. And whatever the problem is, Lord God, we know you're in complete control, Lord God. Touch her body, oh Lord God. May the healing virtue of Almighty God flow from the crown of her head, Lord, to the soles of her feet, even right now, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that this family, Lord, Lord, that can't find a loved one, Lord God. Lord God, we know, Lord God, that one day we was all lost. Lord God, and you a God that'll leave the 99 to go find the one, Lord God. Lord God, we don't know where she's at, Lord, or what she's going through, but right now we plead the blood. Oh, God, we plead the blood of Almighty God, Lord. Cover her, Lord God. May the angels of God encamp around her, Lord, and protect her, Lord God. Do a mighty work, Lord God. Hallelujah. Do a mighty work, Lord God. Lord God, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, Lord, and all the glory, oh, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, oh, Lord God, to answer these requests, oh, Father God. There may be many requests on the hearts of the believers, Lord God. You are, Lord God, that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, oh God. You know all things, Lord God. May we lift them up towards you, oh Father God. Commit them to you this evening, oh Lord God. But, oh Lord, above anything, Lord, we need a spiritual blessing, oh Father. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. My God. Why don't you just greet somebody around you? Say, so good to see you tonight. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Oh, bless the Lord with me. Hey, bless the Lord with me. Everybody bless the Lord with me. Say hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Oh. Yeah, hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands. Come on and clap your hands with me. Hey, hey, clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands with me. Everybody, whoa, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Oh, say hallelujah. Hey. Oh, come on and praise the Lord with me. Hey, praise the Lord. Oh, come on and praise. Well, come on and praise. Oh, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together tonight. Come on, everybody. Lift your voice, say hallelujah, hallelujah, say hallelujah. Everybody bless the Lord. Hey, bless the Lord. Yeah. Oh, hey, come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap your hands, oh, hey, everybody, hey, say hallelujah, hallelujah, say hallelujah, hallelujah, come on, one more time. Give them praise in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Only he's worthy to be praised. Amen. Let's worship him. He is great, and he does miracles great. Amen. Anybody a witness that he does miracles? I mean, I'm talking about big time miracles, big time things. Amen. Our God is not a little God. He's a big God. Amen. And does big things. And we're just so happy just to be here. Amen. Fellowshipping him. Fellowshipping around his word tonight. And I believe, like I said earlier, we wanted to give space for testimonies. I'm hearing just so many things that the Lord has been doing, and we're going to give space for that tonight. And I'm telling y'all, the things that we'll hear tonight, that's just the beginning of what God is doing. That's just the beginning. So if he can do that, he can do a whole lot more. Amen. Hallelujah. Deserve the glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. For you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. For you are great, and you do miracles so great, and there is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one like you. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. Hey, there is no one else like you. Oh, there is no one else like you. You deserve the glory. Hey, you deserve the glory and the honor. And the honor. Oh, Lord, we live. our hands in worship. Oh, as we bless your holy, you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands. Lord, we lift our hands as we bless your holy name. Come on, tell them tonight, you are great. You are great. You do miracles. Hey, whoa. Searched all over, could find nobody. There is no. You are great. You do miracles. Hey, hey, oh, there's nobody nowhere. Come on, sing it again. Hey, you are great. You are great. Hey, so great. Nowhere. Hey, you are great, yet you are Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name, oh God. You do miracles so great. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no one. Come on, one more time. Lift it up to heaven. You are great. You do miracles. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Oh, oh, no one like you, Jesus. Hey, hey, you are great. You are great. Oh. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Glory. No one like you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God. Amen. Amen. You can be seated in his presence. Amen. Let's just prepare for tonight's offering. Amen. And quickly announce, don't forget on Sunday, we'll be having a guest minister here with us, Brother Yvonne Carrion. He's a pastor from New York City. And actually, his church was started in the home of Brother and Sister Robles. Brother Robles served as a deacon there for a number of years before he moved to Florida. So it's going to be good just to have him, amen, here in fellowship. I had a chance to fellowship with him a little bit earlier this year when we went out to the pastor and pastor's wife's getaway. And, had some really, really good fellowship. And so I'm looking forward to them coming, amen. And don't forget, just keep me in prayer Sunday immediately following the service, amen. I'll be leaving to try to catch a plane to get to Jamaica. I'm supposed to preach, I believe, on Sunday night in Jamaica as well as on Monday in Jamaica, and I'll be back home on Tuesday. So keep us in prayer while we are away. Don't forget, on next weekend, it'll be next Saturday night, we'll be having youth service here at 7 p.m. on next Saturday night, and Brother Remy, amen, his son, will be coming to minister for us. And then the following weekend, the last weekend of this month, we'll be doing the combined services. And as I mentioned on Friday, I was asked to speak at the combined service. So just keep us in prayer for that. And two other things that will be happening that October 28th, we'll also have Pinnacle Palms. And on next Sunday, the 21st, there is we are working on something. I'll be meeting with somebody on next week. But we've been given an open door to go into a a facility here in Palm Beach County that actually has, you know, people that's dealing with different types of addictions, whether it's drugs or alcohol. And Brother Kenny, we had first been praying about it, and I talked to Brother Kenny about it. So, you know, we're looking for an opportunity just to go in and share the gospel with people. And he talked to somebody and said, yeah, we'd love to have your church come and just, you know, and just have service here. So we're going to be doing that the first time on the 21st. And I'm just taking just a few people in with me because, you know, we're going on the enemy's territory. And, you know, we just need, we want to just kind of go check things out first before we try to bring everybody in. But one thing I do need is just some prayer warriors, just praying, amen, that God would just set people free. Amen, because that's our purpose for going, just to see souls set free from these addictions. And, you know, and if we could just say something, because the Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So we want to be able to take truth in there. So keep us in prayer. That'll be happening next Sunday, amen, Sunday evening, amen, afternoon. That'll be happening. So keep that in mind for us. Brothers, you can come at this time. We'll take tonight's offering. Way, would you lead us in prayer? Open up the floor for those that would want to just share some of God's greatness, amen, some of his goodness, things that he has been doing. And amen, like I said, this is just the beginning, amen, but we want to just open the floor and just give room for those that would like to testify to come forward and just testify. And do we have anybody tonight that want to testify? Anybody want to testify? Okay, I got 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, amen, amen. So y'all get yourselves lined up and y'all come on and they're gonna testify.
For the last over a year, I've been looking for a job. I went on, I want to say about 10 to 15 interviews, filled out over thousands of applications. And I keep getting offers, go in for a job interview, and they say, okay, well, we're going to call you. Never called. The one job I actually started, I liked it, but I couldn't do it because I would never be in church. Only days I was off was Thursdays. So I had to leave that job. I did it one day, and I said I couldn't do it. But then they kept calling me, and other job offers called me. So I go, and it wasn't, I just didn't feel comfortable being in that type of environment, so I didn't take the job. So finally, I told my husband, I said, you know what, I'm going to stop looking. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to stop looking. Eventually, I'll find one. Lo and behold, the next day, I got a job, and I love it. I love it. You know. So, another thing I want to really thank God for. My husband and I was going through some things with our house, and we really was at the point of losing it. We was at the point of losing our home. But the banks kept calling and HOA, and it was just a problem when my husband left his job and I'm not working. I'm like, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So he kept saying, just wait on God, wait on God. I said, okay. You're going to wait. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I said, we need to just, let's sell or whatever. We keep getting people come through, want to buy the house, but then nobody had the funds to get the house. Some people really wanted to give us thousands and thousands of dollars, way less than it was, you know, what it's worth. So the realtor kept calling me saying, Ms. King, we need to do something. Because if not, you guys going to lose it. So we kept getting letters in the mail, and I kept asking myself, hey, what are we going to do? I don't know. You don't know? Okay. Then he keeps saying, I don't know, I don't know. I said, okay, well, where are we going to go? I don't know. I said, we're going to be on the street. So he kept saying, we're not going to be on the street. You trust me? I said, I trust God. He said, you don't trust me? I said, I trust God. So he held up pretty good. He stuck by me because I was really in a panic. So I really I kept talking to the realtor, and she said, well, they want a little over $10,000, and they wanted it that night, about 5:30 that night. I'm like, where are we going to get $10,000 from at 5:30 at night? So I said, well, I called a realtor, and she said, did you guys come up with the money? I'm like, no. So she said, okay, let me see what we can do. Her and her husband was working on some things. So the lawyer from, one of the attorneys from the HOA called us and said, okay, Ms. King, we're going to give you till 8:30. The next one Thursday morning, because the sale. Okay. Yeah. Here? Okay. Yeah.
Wednesday night we prayed, and we felt home, got a call. I talked to this guy that I don't know the guy. Never seen the guy. Never talked to him. He said, I'll take care of him. I'll call you the next morning. Called me and said, taken care of.
$10,600. Thank you. What got me was when the guy called me, when the attorney called, he said we needed the money by 9:30. The sale of the house was at 10 o'clock. So my husband said, okay, we're going to get it. I'm working on something. He on his phone, I'm on my phone. And here it is about 9:58. The realtor called me and said, Ms. King, contact the attorney. But at that time, it was 9:59. The attorney called me. He said, we got the wire. I'm like, within 1 minute you got it? It was done. God took care of it for us. So.
That's a miracle. $10,000 overnight was needed, and God provided it with somebody that they did not even know. So all I can say tonight is take the limit off of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He say he'll rebuke the devourer. Amen. Glory.
God bless you. The devil really tried to rob me of this testimony tonight, this whole week. I was excited to share it. And, I mean, I was just attacked battle after battle. But I have a coworker of mine that I met about a month ago. And it just seemed throughout this year, God has led me to different people. And in the midst of a lot of what they're going through, I'd come across their path, and while talking to me, it'd be like, wow, like that's a confirmation. So I see how God has done that. And this coworker, he's a pretty solid dude, and we were just talking. I had a meeting with him, I think just Monday night, and we were talking, and he's very close guy, a solid. And he just started opening up to me and saying a whole lot of stuff. I mean, he was telling me everything that God has done, and he even started crying. And I didn't know why he was, expressing himself to me like that, because we're like strangers. But I began to think about it, and I was like, I told him, you know, can you imagine that what God did for you is because he knew that you were going to testify. And when I thought about what he did, I said, I'm going to testify. Because that may be why God did what he did, knowing that I needed to. But this year has been a rough year, but a great year at the same time. I can go back to last year, or where this testimony began. And it really all started with a desire I had to get a second job. And I did that. I started doing security again on top of what I was doing in banking. And the year came. A few months went by. I was working both jobs at the same time. It was two full-time jobs. And I didn't have a need to do that, but I was trying to pursue something. And I just became very ambitious at the time. So I was really working myself. And before you know it, I lost my job at the bank. So that was a very downturn at that moment, because there was a lot of potential in that career path for me, a lot of things I was anticipating. But when that door closed, I was pretty much asking, what's next? What is it that I'm going to do? From that, I ended up my car ended up being sold. So I was driving, I had a new car, but it was a very old car. It was just something to get me around. It was a 2002 Kia, which was great. And then I had that car, I was working, and it so happened that as soon as I lost my job at the bank, so much overtime opened up for security. So my pay didn't really differ. I was still making around the same. So this is around May. So I'm preparing for the trip to go. I lost my job at the bank last few weeks of April. May, I was working a whole ton of overtime with my job. And then June, I was getting ready for my trip to go to Israel. So I go to Israel, and just had an unbelievable experience. Just God showed me different things, and he did so much. And I say the most important thing that happened in Israel for me was my time in prayer, because that, to me, is the root of my testimony. We went to the wall. I wrote some things down, and I prayed about it. And I just left it in God's hands. And I came back from Israel, and I remember I did share that I had gotten to an accident with the 2002 Kia. This was before I went to Israel. So this car was in the shop. I had brought this car to the shop before I went to Israel, knowing that when I came back, this car was going to be done. So I came back from Israel, and the car wasn't done. The mechanic, he didn't do nothing on the car. So I still had my work to get to, but the day after I came back, we got back on a Thursday. On a Friday, I got a call from my supervisor. He told me that I was removed from the post. So I didn't have a job at that moment. So no car, no job. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know which way the world was going to turn. But I prayed about the situation. And it was I want to say it was like a whole week went by. Really, about a week and a half, I was jobless. I didn't do anything. I just stayed at the house. And let me backtrack a little bit, because after I lost my job at the bank, a few weeks went by, I was thinking about pursuing my career in barbering and actually doing that, maybe full-time, potentially. So just before Israel, I made some arrangements. I connected with a school, and I went there and everything, and it worked out that I was going to start as soon as I came back from Israel. So this school was very affordable. I did a down payment of $2,000 just before I left. So everything was set in stone. So this is something else that I was anticipating coming back from Israel. Now, back from Israel, no car, no job, and I got to be at school. So I had to talk to the instructor, tell them that, I'm just going to need more time because I can't get around. And this school is in Orlando. So that's like, you're talking about 160 miles. So there's no way of getting to Orlando, especially with not having a reliable car. So I had to be very patient. And after that week went by with me not working, I got a call. And I remember I told a few brothers about the situation. I was talking to Josue, and he just told me to be faithful. And I got a call. They told me that they got me a new post for a new location. And I said, okay, that's fine. Now, this location was in Stewart. So that was really out there. But it paid me more. So I accepted it. The job was very light. It was light work. It was nothing serious. But I considered that to be a stepping stone in this testimony because it helped me a lot. My mom and I made arrangements that we're going to carpool. She works in Jupiter, so I would bring her to work. I would be at work like a few hours early, wait until I start, and I'd have to work like 11-hour shifts. So I'd be there even before my time for like 13, 14 hours. So that was a strain, but we did that, and because the car was still not yet done. So the mechanic that had the car, I mean, the situation really escalated, and we even had to consider going to the law enforcement because he didn't do anything, and I had paid him before I left, to go to Israel. So it got to a point where I just didn't want to entertain the situation because I saw where it was going. So I handed over to my dad and my mom. I told him because they're the one that referred me to him. I don't know him. He worked for them before. So I said, this is your guy. You deal with him. And I kind of left it alone. So I knew I couldn't continue carpooling with my mom because it was just deteriorating me and my mom as well. So this was all in June. So July came about, and I said, you know what? When I handed the situation to my parents, I said, you know what? I'm just going to get a new car and not going to worry about that car anymore. And I really didn't want to get a new car because I had some money saved up, and I didn't really want to rely on that for a new car. But I said, I have to do it because I have to go back to school. So I start asking God. I said, Lord, I just need a car, something to get me on the road. Nothing special. And I just said that simple prayer, and I started looking. And, I mean, I went everywhere. I found a few options, did all of that. And it was really towards the end of July, going into August. The situation just got worse because, again, the most stressful time for me at that time was time. The need to be patient. So every day that went by and not having a car or not being able to get around as much as I, as freely as I want to was very stressful and frustrating. So I had a talk with this brother, and it's like a week went by where it felt like I became content with the situation. And the brother just kind of revived my drive to make the situation better. So I prayed again about it, and I remember it was a Sunday, and I couldn't get to work. My mom was already at work, and I just didn't feel like getting to work that early. I was very tired. So I had called a job and told them I wasn't going to be able to make it. And they needed me so bad that they told the supervisor to come pick me up. So I said, okay, I'm not trying to miss work, but if you want to come pick me up, that's fine. So he came to pick me up and drove me all the way to Stewart. And he drove me to Stewart. And on our drive there, we just started talking, you know. And as I started talking to him, we just started talking about church. And he was a very old guy. He's about in his, not that old, but he was in his 50s. I'm not trying to offend nobody. So he's about in his 50s. And so we start talking, it's like I'm taking him back to his childhood days and when he was a young man, and he's talking about church and how he grew up as a Catholic and such and such. And the way he was talking is like he done seen some things in the Catholic Church that were very contradicting, you know, to the word. And he knew the word. So I was just telling him about Jesus, how he's the same. You know, there are a lot of, you know, churches that don't really act according to the word, but that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't still the same. So I was just talking to him about that, and it's like the more we talked, the more his faith was lifted up, and he was like, "How old are you?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm 22," and he was like, "Man, like you doing all that?" I'm like, "Well, he saved my life. Yeah, that's I live for him," and I was just pretty much telling him how he could do the same, and it's not too late. You know, you've been away from church for a long time, but it doesn't mean that you can't be restored. So he had a couple of things, and by the time we got to my job, he asked me, he's like, "Hey, man, I want you to do something for me." I was like, "What is it?" He's like, "I want you to pray for me. I have a problem with my eye." And, you know, I think he started tearing up a little bit, but he was like, I really want to get back in line with Christ. I want to start going to church again, you know. And he just moved from California. He was new to Florida. His mom had just passed away. So he was going through it. And I told him, yes, we can pray. So I prayed for him. And, I mean, I just could tell there was a difference from the time he came to pick me up to the time he left. So when I saw that, this was a Sunday, and I was thinking to myself, and I was very frustrated before I called off, and it was just like, oh my goodness, like, you know, when is the situation gonna end? But at that time when it was me and him and I prayed for him and all of that transpired, I asked myself, who am I to say that this is a bad situation just because I don't have what I want? And I just says, if God could allow me to be a witness to this guy in spite of my frustration, then that's fine with me, because that means I'm in the will of God. So at that point in time, I mean, it was a sudden joy that came into me, and I was like, you know what? I don't have a car. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm where God wants me to be. So that's enough for me to keep going. So that was a Sunday. And that night, I was just pretty much, you know, feasting. And that Sunday was the thought that came to mind. And it was like the thought said, go to the dealership tomorrow and get the car that you want. And that thought just came out of nowhere. So that next morning, I went with my mom. I had already told her what was going on. And I went to the dealership. And long story short, we came out with a 2017 Cadillac. So I was very blown away. I was blown away because I wasn't expecting it. I didn't ask God for it. And all I had asked God for, well, not only asked, I pretty much just accepted His will the night before. And it made me think about the story of Solomon, how Solomon, just when he became king, he asked God for an understanding heart, that he can discern God's people. And because of what he asked for, God was pleased by it. And God, I'm sure you guys know the story, God didn't only give him what he asked for, but God gave him riches, honor, long life, everything. So I was just really moved by that. So that allowed me to now be able to resume back to school. So I started to go to school again, and I was still working my job. I was driving every Monday mornings to Orlando, and I was coming back on Thursday. I was doing that. The school, I was expected to finish about 6 months. The instructor and I talked, and she says, I had told her that I'm already a barber. I've been cutting for a long time. I'm just looking to get my license. And she says, well, when I see your work, I'll see, you know, how long you need to be here. Because if you are a good haircut, a good barber, then I may have you leave ahead of your time. So I said, okay. So some time went by, and every now and then we talk, but it was about a few weeks ago, and I had missed a week, and then I went back, and then I had told her I wanted to talk to her about something, because I just wanted to see what the update was. And then I came and I spoke to her, and she says, you're gonna finish soon. And I said, okay. She gave me a book that had like all the tests, questions, and then she said, start studying for the book because you're gonna finish soon. So I said, okay. So a few other weeks went by and came back, and we spoke again, and she says, this week's your last week. So I said, wow, really? So when she said that, I was like, okay. And I, at that time, I had some money I needed to pay her, like the remaining tuition fund. So, and that was another testimony, because I had no idea I was going to get that, because it was a little bit. But God made a way. I connected with a friend, and he knew what I was doing. He says, here, go ahead and take care of that. So he gave it to me, and I took care of the tuition, and she gave me the certificate and everything. And then I was done. And to also mention the certificate, when I looked at the date she wrote it in September. So she already had made her mind that this was going to happen. Well, God made his mind. So that was unbelievable. So now, what I'm transitioning into becoming a full-time barber. I'm waiting to take my exam. So you guys keep me in prayer about that. But with all that has happened, I never imagined that I would be making a career of something I'm very passionate about. So that brought a lot of joy to me, being able to make money doing something that I love to do. So it was like a door that opened up that would give me no limitations, no restrictions. I could talk to a client about the word and not violate any policy or procedure. So that to me, I was like, Lord, I'm going to let you enlarge my territory. Right. So I'm very encouraged, and that pretty much sums the testimony. And like Brother Jack said, I believe it's just the beginning of a lot of what God is getting ready to do. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. That's very, very, very special just to hear how the Lord blessed Brother Jerry. I saw a couple of the hands go up. Sister Amanda, you can come, and also Brother Solomon. Anybody else? Okay, Sister Shonda and Sister Cobb. All right. Praise the Lord. My. He's a miracle worker.
God bless you. So I go to a Christian school, Palm Beach Atlantic University, and I work in the cancer fatigue program. So basically I'm physically training patients who have cancer or are recovering from cancer. So I've done it for 4 semesters now. And last semester, all the professors at that school, if they need somebody to pray for someone or for anything, they always ask me. So I pray for all kinds of stuff. But this one particular situation, there was a woman in the program. She was going into a treatment, her situation was really bad. And she wanted to be prayed for. And one of my professors, Dr. Sylvester, he was like, Amanda, would you pray for her? And so there was this big group of people, and I prayed for her, and everybody was super uncomfortable, but I felt the Holy Spirit there. I was just like, I was just praying for her, and I had my hands on her, and I loved how uncomfortable everybody was. So I honestly forgot, I had forgotten this semester that I had prayed for her, and then I saw her again, and praise God, she's healed of cancer. So it was, I didn't even remember until I saw her. and then I came home and I was telling my husband about it, and I was like, oh my God, I prayed for her. Like, I guess in my head I just knew that she was healed, and I left, and it was just amazing. It was just God showing me again, you know. He is a miracle worker, so right. Amen.
Amen.
My Lord. Praise God. Amen. 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 All people need to do is see a real Jesus. Amen. A lot of folk go to school, they don't know the Jesus that we know, right? Amen. That's all right, sis. That's a blessing. My, set my heart on fire. Sister Cobb, I saw your hand. Amen. My, let's give God praise for that. That is wonderful. Amen. My.
God bless you. I just thank God for his hand of protection on me and the drivers in our company. I was driving along on the surface road the other day, and I came to a stop sign, and I sat at the stop sign, and I got distracted, so I didn't realize it was time for me to go. So when I got ready to pull off, just as I was pulling my feet off the brake to put it on the gas, a police car came flying down the road, and I saw him. I didn't hear a siren or anything. So when I saw him flying by, I thought that I was getting ready to pull off, and it really could have been a really bad T-bone accident. And the way that he was flying and the time that I was pulling off, I really do believe that neither one of us would have made it. So I just thank God for his hand of protection on us every day that we're out there on the road, and for others also.
Amen. Certainly thank God for watching over Sister Cobb. Amen. Sister Shonda, I saw your hand. Amen. And did we have, I know Brother Solomon, did we have anybody else after Brother Solomon? Okay, praise the Lord. All right.
First of all, I'd like to thank God for being here tonight. Wednesday night, well, started earlier Wednesday. I've been feeling really, really sick. A lot of people know me. I don't know, they call me a germaphobic, but lately I've just been really under a lot of pressure with my new job that I'm going to speak on later. But a lot of people have been getting sick over the past couple of weeks, and I've had to sub for teachers that was out sick. So Wednesday at work, I started feeling really, really sick, and I was, you know, telling my supervisor, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the day. But I made it through the day, and 3 o'clock, 3:30, I was in the bed all night long. I was just really, pretty much seemed like I was having every symptom of it. And I texted Brother Jack and asked for prayer, and I just started praying and just gave it to God. And I'm like, you know, the scripture comes back to me where, you know, where it talks about everybody, you know, different things happening where it won't come now you're dwelling. And I just started thinking on that scripture and praying that. And I'm like, Lord, this is not going to happen. You know, and I just started thanking him already for my healing. And woke up yesterday morning. I was feeling a little bit better. I said, I'm just going to go ahead and stay home. And yesterday evening, I went on to my second job in the evening. And I started feeling a little more better. And I said, okay, I'm gonna just stay on one more day, you know, today, so I won't, you know, push it. And in back in the bed. So I woke up this morning. I'm going to work. So I went to work today, and I've been feeling perfectly fine and really, really good all day long. So I just really thank God for my healing. and about the job, I applied for this job the beginning of the summer, and I completely forgot about it. Like Sister Verna, I was putting in a lot of applications. I went on, I think, one or two interviews, and I'm like, okay, Lord, and nothing happened by the time school started because I was looking for something in the school system. And beginning of the summer, I was putting in my request. I'm like, Lord, I know what I love to do. I love to teach art. I love to teach, you know. I know I don't have a degree or a certificate in teaching, so I just start applying for jobs anyway in the school system and charter schools. And, you know, nothing happened when the school year started. So I'm like, okay, I went ahead and started classes. I had classes lined up where I was going to school full time. And I think about 5 weeks after school started, I was full swing into my classes. And I got a call. I was at school, and I got a call. I took the call, and they asked me if I wanted to come in for an interview. And I realized it was for a job that I applied for at the beginning of the summer. And I said, sure. You know, I didn't know what had happened. I didn't ask any questions why they were calling me then, 5 weeks into school. But the next day, I went on a job interview, and she said, well, it's not a full-time job, you know, but we offer you this amount of an hour, and we see that you don't have a certificate, but we see you have a lot of experience. I said, okay. She said, I'd like to start. Then I said, when? She said, tomorrow. I'm like, okay. but turns out that I had a lot of paperwork to do with the school board, so I ended up starting the following month, the following Monday, which allowed me to get my curriculum together and get my classroom set up and everything. So to make a long story short, the following Monday I started working for a charter school as elementary school teacher, art teacher. You know, doing what I love. So, and 2 weeks later, it turned into full time, and I also got a dollar raise. So, so it is full time now. Doing K through eighth grade, and the principal called me in, and he said, "We would like to give offer you more, but I have to look over my my budget, you know." And then he said, "That's when he told me that they were going to raise me a dollar more, but he's going to try to work on giving me more." Hour. So I just really, really praise God for that because I'm loving it. I love it. Not only that, but I'm also, it's definitely full time because I, like I said, they added me a middle school, ninth grade on, but also I'm subbing off and on. So, you know, for other teachers that's out. So it's, you know, it's definitely been full time, and I've been trying to balance that with, you know, my other job. So I just really thank God for that. Another thing with the car issue, towards the middle of the summer, my car put me down. It just stopped shifting. I'm like, okay, Lord, I immediately started praying, please don't let it be my transportation, my transmission. And I was just praying on it. My sister and her husband referred me to their mechanic, and took it to their mechanic, and God made a way for me to be able to get it fixed. And it comes back working fine, but the air conditioning doesn't work. I'm like, it's the middle of summer. It was so hot, and I'm like, Lord, okay, so I'm like, why isn't my air conditioner working? It was working perfectly fine before I took it to him. And my brother can vouch for me because he looked it over and he said, I can't figure out what's going on with the car. So that's when I took it to the mechanic that my sister referred me to. And after I got the car back with the air conditioner not working, I said, I got to take this back to him because I don't know what's going on. I know it was working perfectly fine, blowing cold. Nothing ever was wrong with my air conditioner. So I took it back and I said, my air conditioner was working fine. I want it fixed, but I don't want to pay for it. I mean, I'm not going to pay for it. So he looked it over. So okay, I fix it. So he looked it over, and my brother-in-law called me back and said, they can't figure out what's going on with the air conditioner. They think whatever they did for it, it blew a fuse. I'm like, okay. He said, he can't fix it. I'm like, okay, he can't fix it. So I've been since that time without an air conditioner. And I didn't get law involved. I didn't really know what to do at that time. I said, Lord, I'm just going to leave it in your hands because it seems like it's one thing after another. So I got this one problem fixed, and then it came back with another problem, and they don't know how to fix it, so I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to trust and believe God that that is a setup for me for something better, you know. So you know, going all this time without an air condition. And then about a week ago, I don't know what's going on with the car now. The ignition is stuck. I can't even turn the key. The wheel is stuck. It won't turn. So I'm like, okay, I can't even turn the car on now. So I'm like, Lord, what is going on? I just started praying. I'm like, I know I've been praying for a new car. I've been seeing blessings of new cars. And I'm like, Lord, so I'm just looking at this as you showing me that you're getting ready to bless me with something else. and I'm like, Lord, I'm just beginning to put my request in. I don't want any payment. I don't want to put a lot of money down, and I don't want any payments, and I don't want, you know, I'm not going to be choosy. I would just want a car, but I don't want, you know, another just here to there car. So I'm just taking the limits off of God and telling him what I want, you know. So I have this to put down, and I don't want any payments, and I want this kind of car. So I'm just, you know, as I see these things happening, I'm just taking the limits off of God because I know what he can do, you know, and I'm just looking for the blessings in the day.
Praise the Lord. Zion, reach over and touch your mama. Grab y'all whole hands. And we gonna claim it's already done in Jesus' name. If two of you would touch and agree, asking anything in the name of the Lord Jesus, it's already done. So we're gonna hear your next testimony about your car, sis. So we're looking forward to that. Amen. The way you set up right there, I thought you'd already got the car, so amen. Glory to God. Amen. Brother Solomon. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I don't even know where to begin. I'll just go back to the first of the year. There was a transition at my job. There was a lawsuit against Pepsi by one of the, it was a woman, a salesman in Georgia. So because she won the lawsuit, they changed our pay structure, which when they changed our pay structure, every week we lost a few hundred dollars. And it has been that way since the first of the year. So things were getting a little tight. And then somewhere around the end of July, we had a few things go down. Our emergency fund was depleted. Bills were coming up right at the end of the month. And we're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? Well, you know, it was like, one thing we are going to do is give our tithes and offerings, and we're going to take care of this building fund, and we'll take care of everything else later. I said, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. So I think that was on a Thursday. Well, Friday morning, no, it wasn't on a Thursday. It was actually on a Tuesday. So Wednesday morning, when she got up, she's able to go online and see my pay stub. And she called me. She said, Solomon, have you looked at your paycheck? And I was like, oh, man, it ain't going to be pretty. Because I had just went on light duty, tore up my rotator cuff. So I was like, man, they going to cut my pay, and they did 80%. So when she asked me that, I was like, oh, man, start getting nervous and everything. So I went online. I looked at my paycheck. I was like, something's wrong. hey, something's wrong with this. So when I looked at it, it was like I got paid twice. And that was my regular pay, what they had already cut. So I'm like, oh, okay. Things going to be all right. So early Friday morning, I called, I said, hey, how much tithe and offering? I got to go get this. So that's the first thing I went and did on Friday morning. I went and got tithe and offering. So when I get home, check the mailbox, and there's a check in there for over $1,000. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay. Praise the Lord. I got a little something. The girl that sued Pepsi, they paid all the salesmen $1,000. So she got the big money, but we got something. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. That's all right with me. So I went back to the bank, took the tithes out of that. I said, okay. So when Naomi got home, she said, Solomon, you know, we got that wedding coming up. And we were expecting a down payment. But they happened to pay in full. So I shot back over to the bank, got the tithes out. So then she gave me news of another shoot. Had to go get the tithes out. Said, thank you, Jesus. We took care of all the bills and everything, and God just, he just blessed us, you know. We wanted to put him first, and he'll take care of everything else. So when we decided we would give our tithes, our offerings, and take care of that building fund, we pledged it, we committed to it. We're going to stick with it no matter what comes or go. I think God honored that. Praise the Lord. Come on. Not only that. I'm sorry about that, Brother Jack. But he has really been blessing our photography. So you take from Saturday to tomorrow, we will have 5 shoots in 8 days. And don't count out Paris, France. Don't count it out. They're going to have the wedding down in Miami, but there's other sisters. And we've been contacted, so we just covet your prayers concerning that. We may have to go a few times over. So God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's going to be real quick. Just after hearing Brother Solomon, Sister Chana, I said, well, Lord, I can't just hold it. I'm going to testify to the glory of God. I just went into work the other night, got on the computer, checked my emails, and lo and behold, I see an email from Sister Virginia Williams to the human resource person for the airport. And just like to thank God for a raise.
Well, God is good. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Anybody else? No more testimonies? All right. Okay. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. This is kind of, it's a weird testimony, but I think it's fitting. So earlier this, well, late last year, I was having problems at my job at Chick-fil-A with one of the bosses. I don't know. But anyway, it happened in January that he just kind of got really mad at me and just took me off schedule for almost a month. So I ended up having to get my other job, my new job, but he ended up leaving the establishment in just a very bad way, and I was like, I didn't want to see anything like that happen to anyone, but I was like, well, maybe it's just my way to go back in. So I ended up keeping both jobs, not really working at Chick-fil-A as much, just trying to make it work two jobs and go to school full time. It was a lot, but I mean, I made it with good grades and everything, thankfully. And then the summer, I was still working both jobs, still going to school, but not as much. And then I knew fall was coming up, and I know that this fall semester and the next semester, spring semester, are going to be my hardest semesters because I'm going to be graduating in May. So I was like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I want to keep the job at Chick-fil-A because they offer a scholarship, and it's a pretty nice size scholarship, and it can pay for like all my classes pretty much, and my books too, and still have, and also have money left over. So I'm like, I can't leave Chick-fil-A because I need the scholarship to pay for school. So I ended up getting the scholarship again, because I got it last year, and I ended up getting it this year. But I'm like, I still want to stay on at Chick-fil-A just to, you know, make some extra money. But I'm like, okay, it got to be way too much for me. And my boss at Chick-fil-A, we're really good friends. We've known each other for a little bit. And he's like, well, I really want you to come back here. I really need your help. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to give me some more money. So I'm like, I was fighting him. And I'm like, listen, I'm not coming back until I know I can get the money that I want and that I deserve, because I've worked here for 4 years, like, and I shouldn't have to beg you for anything, because you depend on me. You're asking me to come back. So he's like, well, I have to talk to people. And I'm like, well, just talk to who you need to talk to, because I'm not coming back until I get what I need, you know. I really do want to come back and work, but I can't. And so he's like, okay. So he's like, okay, I'll figure it out. So I was working both jobs, and the other jobs start to get really, I don't know, it just wasn't really working for me anymore. It was really taking a lot of my time. I was tired going to school, and then having to run straight from school, go home and change, go straight to work and work for 6 hours, go back home, and I wasn't going to bed until 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes, having to get up at 6, and I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I was like, God, I really need you to open this door for me at Chick-fil-A, because I just can't do this anymore. So I kept talking to my boss. He's like, oh, well, I have to talk to more people. How much do you want? I told him, he's like, okay. We kind of haggled on it. So I finally got it to where I was getting paid. If I got the raise, I would get paid the same thing I was getting paid at the other job. So I was like, okay, I'm like, see if you can get that for me, and then we'll figure it out. So he's like, okay. So he told me, he's like, okay, what did you say you wanted? And I told him, he's like, okay, well, starting this Monday, you're going to get that. This was a couple weeks ago, but he said, starting this Monday, you're going to get that. So I was like, okay. So I was like, okay, I'll come back, but you have to give me some time, because I'm not just going to leave these people, you know. He's like, okay, bye, I'm out. So I'm like, just give me some time. I'm going to give them the full 2 weeks, and then I'll go. But it was kind of hard for me because I was going on a trip with my school. I'm like, I don't want to leave them like this, but I don't really know. I'm like, I'm ready to go, but I don't know. So I ended up working out where I put in my 2 weeks there, and they were sad, but I'm like, I'm sorry. I just told them, I'm like, what school? I really can't do this right now. I will try to come back if I can, but if not, then this is just what, I'm sorry. So I stopped working there, and then I went back to Chick-fil-A to work not full time, but more hours. And honestly, I can really say that it's just been a load off my shoulders. Like, I'm not as stressed out as I used to be, and it's just, it's working out better for me. I'm getting the time that I need for a lot of stuff because of all the trips we've been taking and different things like that. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, because, you know, 4 years ago, I didn't know what school was going to bring me. I didn't know what was going on, but this was the ram in the bush for me because I've wanted to leave so many times, but God's known through all of it that this is what I needed. So I'm thankful for that, and I know that this will all be worth it in the end, all that I've been through. And I'm like, thank you, God. And, you know, it would be robbery not to give God thanks when, you know, sometimes you look and things just seem to be going so bad, but you never know that things are really working out for your good. So I just want to thank God for that.
Some wonderful, wonderful testimonies here tonight, and there is another really powerful thing that the Lord has done, but it's not my place to share. It's not my testimony, so I won't share it, but I'm just telling y'all, God has been good. God has been good to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, and I'm just very grateful. I won't try to preach too long, but I want to just read a scripture for you all tonight, and out of John chapter 6, and I know I won't be able to do much with this just for the sake of time, but I think it's appropriate for us just to share something from the Word of the Lord. Amen. John chapter 6, it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise with the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet which come into the world. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray over this. Father, we thank you for every testimony that's gone forth, and just the great things that you're doing in the midst of your people, how our hearts are strengthened and encouraged by these things. And now, Lord, just for a very quick thought here, just to share with the saints, we pray that you would bless this tonight, as we've read your word, bless the reading of it, and now God bless just the delivery of this thought. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I kind of have in my spirit just a little something here, and this scripture I've been thinking on just for a little bit, and just looking at what we just read here. Jesus saw this great company, and this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of the Lord Jesus that's actually found in all 4 Gospels. Amen. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, And it's the only miracle, amen, that you find each one of those writers telling the story, amen, of this miracle. And, you know, when we look at it, I chose to read it out of John tonight because of the way that John just kind of put it there. And I love the way he said this. It says in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I love this because Jesus actually can identify that there is a problem, right? There is a situation. There is a circumstance. And it's good for us to know that when we're facing something, he is not unmindful, right, of whatever it is that we're facing. He's very aware. And the key thing here is that not only is he aware, but he's asking Philip, what are we going to do about this? Right. You know, now, and I love this because by him asking Philip, and the scripture tells us that Jesus already knew what he was going to do in the situation, but he wanted to see where the disciples were. Right. He already knew what was getting ready to happen. And I'm glad that he already has a plan in place. Glory to God. No matter what the problem is, your Lord already has a plan in place. And what we need to learn how to do is tap into his plan. Now, he already knows exactly what he's about to do. And I want to tell you, amen, just this little thought that we're going to use tonight. He's getting ready to bypass a process. Amen. So I want to just use that for a title tonight, bypass the process. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Because I heard that tonight. Amen. I heard that in Brother Jerry's testimony. Right? Amen. He was supposed to go to school for 6 months. Amen. But they released him a little early. Why? Because God was bypassing the process. I heard it also in Sister Shonda's testimony. I don't have my degree. I don't have my papers. I don't have this. I don't have this, but I need a job. And God is able to bypass the process. Amen. When we take the limits off of God, amen, no matter what your problem is, no matter what your situation, no matter how bad your circumstance, God is able to bypass processes. Hallelujah, somebody. If you need $10,000, God can bypass a process. Whatever you need, your God already knows what he's about to do. He's about to show up and show out. He'll bypass the process. Amen. When I look at this, he tells them because in other accounts, amen, and the other books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and amen, Luke, Jesus kind of tell the disciples, say, now, he tells them, say, now, go out and look amongst the people and see what's out there. Now, in one account, he actually told them, say, now, you know, the people are hungry. Why don't y'all go feed them? You know, get something for them to eat. And they say, now, look, all the shops are closed. All the shops are closed. How are we going to get them something to eat, you know, and all the shops are closed? There's no way we'll make it on there to get it. And not only that, they say, now, it's a couple things here. Shops are closed. Here, Philip says, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough money to handle this problem. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes God would allow it to look like you ain't got enough. But you need to understand, if God is in the midst of it, you have more than enough to handle your situation. Hallelujah. Little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. Amen. So here, you know, he say, we got no money. Say the shops are closed. Like what are we going to do? But all of what the disciples are going through and what they're thinking, Jesus already knows what he's about to do. He already has. He's very clear about what he's about to do. But he's got the disciples just kind of wondering. So what he did to the disciples, and you know, said, now go out there and just kind of ask around and see what's there. And I can just see Peter come back to him and say, look, now all we got is we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now in the other accounts, it doesn't show that this boy is here. Only in the book of John it shows that this little lad is here. And I like this. I want to read just a little something from the message, It Is I. Amen. This just from the prophet here. I like this.
He goes on and says, as they waved goodbye to the ones that was on the bank, and as the little ship on the still waters floated its way out in the sea, dark began to steal across from the other side towards Gadara, and they were, the shade falling into the water. The little ship was almost out of sight from the disciples or the people on the bank as the disciples went out in the lake. I believe it must have been quite a little bit, maybe say 10 minutes before anybody spoke any more words. As the little ship drifted along and each apostle with the oar just and rotating just in time. They all had oars and they're rotating just in time. And look, notice what the prophet says. He says, and there where we learn a lesson too. He says, on this little ship sailing over life, solemn main, that we are going on, if we'll just pull together, the ship will move much better. Hallelujah. If we'll just pull together, the ship will move much better. And I'm here to, amen, if you're not aware, amen, I want to let you know that the devil don't like these testimonies. Amen. The devil didn't like hearing what happened here tonight. Right? The devil knows that many of us are going to leave here encouraged and strengthened. So it's the devil's job actually to get us to pull apart. Amen. But if we'll just pull together, amen, the ship will move much better. Now, I remember a statement that I heard Dave Ramsey make, you know, we were going through some of his lessons there, and he talked about a Belgian horse. And he said his Belgian horse had the capability of pulling about 8,000 pounds by himself. You know, you got this one Belgian horse, and he would pull 8,000 pounds. They use him to pull a lot of stuff. He said, but, you know, the strange thing is that if you put two Belgian horses together in a harness, and if they're strangers to each other, amen, they can pull from 20 to 24,000. Now, they go from pulling 8,000 to 20 to 24,000 knots. I mean, you would think if you got two horses, if one could pull 8,000, two could pull 16,000. But no, when you got two that don't even know each other, these two can actually pull three times their own strength. Hallelujah. If they don't know each other. Hallelujah. But if the Belgian horses have had an opportunity to actually work together and they get comfortable with one another, then those two horses can pull 32,000 pounds. Four times their strength if they work together. And if we get pulled together, the ship will be much better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So he goes on to say, if the Baptist and the Presbyterian and Pentecost and Assemblies of God and Church of God and all would just pull together, the ship will certainly move smoothly. And he goes on to say, as they move the little ship towards the other shore, their destination, it must have been the young John. He was the youngest among the bunch that brushed back the shaggy hair from his face and waited for just for a moment as he rested upon his oars. The brethren waited and wondered what he was going to say. Then he must have turned with something like this and said, brethren, I am as more than ever convinced tonight that we're not following some sort of religious fanatic. I am more sure than I ever was in all my life that we are following the true Son of God. I was more convinced today than ever. As a little boy, I used to love to hear my mother read of the great Jehovah, who was a God of power, who could do miracles and speak things into existence and create by his own word. And my mother used to tell me, Sonny, all things was made by God, and he just spoke it into existence. And then I used to love to hear that story when our ancient people come out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, how Jehovah led them. And when they got hungry, Jehovah just rained bread down out of heaven. And as a little boy, I used to think how I would like for Jehovah to rain some of that angel food down now, because it said it was wafers with honey, and I would be glad to get it. Now, this is John's testimony. Brother Branham's going on. He said, and you know today, when I seen him take those five fish or five loaves and two little fishes and feed 5,000 people, I know that had to be Jehovah. I know no one else could do that. And brethren, I crawled up close to that rock when I seen that little boy that followed us down there this morning had been playing truant from the school, him and his little sister, and he had this lunch on his arm. And when I saw Peter there ask him about that lunch when everybody was hungry and it was given over into the hands of our Lord, I thought of how it was just enough food in there to feed that one little boy his dinner. But when it was in the hands of Jesus, hallelujah, when it was in the hands of Jesus, and that's what we're trying to do, put everything in the hands of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Brother Jared said, I just need a car to get back and forth. I didn't need nothing special. God know how to go beyond, amen, your simple requests and give you more than what you ask for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, it was given over to the hands of you. I thought, of how it was just enough food in there to feed that one little boy. But when it was in the hands of Jesus, it could feed 5,000 and take up several baskets full of pieces. What that meant to me is that God has some leftovers. And what I want to tell you tonight is that God don't want to just meet your need. He wants to give you leftovers. Huh? And usually what happened with leftovers, hey, hallelujah, glory to God, leftovers actually taste better the second time around than they do the first time. And I don't know about you, but if you ever go to a good restaurant and you had some food left over, amen, you put it to the side and maybe you might forget about it. But all of a sudden it just strike your mind that I got some leftovers in there. And you go looking for them. And you better hope nobody ate them before you got there. Because you were thinking about it. Amen. Your glance, you start salivating and all kinds of stuff. You couldn't wait to get home and get them leftovers. And I'm telling you, so the same way that you start longing for them leftovers, God want to give you not just blessings, amen, to meet your need. God want to give you leftovers. Something you can go back to and enjoy the second time. Hallelujah, somebody. Let me go on a little further with this. Amen. Look at this. He says, how God can multiply what we put in his hand. And our hands is not much. In his hands, he multiplies it by thousands. I want to coast just a little bit. Right? Because, you know, this scripture's just been in my heart. And I want to tell y'all something. We have seen a miracle, many miracles in this church. We heard them tonight. These are miracles. Nothing short of miracles. Right? Anything out of the ordinary is a miracle. Right? And one of the other miracles that I want to thank God for is in 7 months' time, this church has, amen, accumulated $30,000. I've been here. I've been here 16 years. I have never seen anything like this. That to me is a miracle. But tonight, I want to just tell the Lord, take our $30,000. We want to put it in your hands. We want to invest that $30,000 into the kingdom of God. And we want to watch God bypass processes. Bypass the process of us giving, amen, from, just whatever we're going to give per month. God can bypass the process and bless what we have to give us what we want. I'm under expectation for that. I'm under expectation for it. Hallelujah. And the other thing I kind of heard here tonight, it just seems like the blessings always come when you're going through something. Man, man, I went home to listen to the tape on Sunday, and I'm hearing music in the background of everything I'm seeing. I say, Lord Jesus, I can't put nothing like that out on the web. How are we going to, you know what, we're trying to adjust things to try to block some of that. But I say, Lord, maybe you make it a little uncomfortable for us because you want to push us out. And if you want to bypass the process, that's fine. We voted on 3 years, but if you want to move earlier than that, we'll take it. We're going to put it in the hands of Jesus because little is much when God is in it. If he can take 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and feed, the Bible say 5,000 men, but it's actually women and children also, amen, in addition to that. And then not only meet the need, but leave them with leftovers. What I'm talking about is that God, when we finish this project, we're not going to be broke. We're going to have leftovers. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something else? When you finish giving, amen, towards your building fund, you will not be broke. You will have leftovers. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me go on and just read this a little bit more. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll bypass processes. Look at, he says, how God can multiply what we put in his hand. In our hands, it's not much. In his hands, it multiplies it by thousands. If we can only let him have what little we have. And like last week when Brother Branham made that statement on the tape, and somebody gave me $1 million check, I say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. I don't know where it's coming from. One person prophesied to me. I don't know if they prophesied it's going to come to pass or not. But I receive it. Amen. 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 He says, if we can only let him have what little we have, our time, our attention, our faith, it may not be too much. Like our sister sitting here, one holding crutch and another sitting in a wheelchair, and a precious man sitting looking at me there with a crutch and a wheelchair, little faith you have may not be very much, but if you can only get once into the hands of Christ, what he could do with it. Says the wheelchairs will be pushed up against the wall. Be going down the streets tomorrow praising God, thanking God. Many sitting here dying with heart trouble, cancer, whatever it might be. In a few days from now, you might go back to your doctor and say, what's happened here? What is it? What little you had, you gave it to the hands of Christ, and he began to multiply. The cancer began to leave. The heart began to go back to its right place and beat right again. Just let him have it in his hand. I want to just kind of stop with that quote there. But, you know, there's God is able. What we see in the scriptures that, you know, at the end when he had them sit down, and I noticed this, he had to have the disciples get the people to settle down, get them kind of into a particular place where, you know, where he could actually work the miracle, right? And first he had to have, he commanded the disciples to, you know, y'all feed the people. And when they said, no, they knew they couldn't do it, but he already knew that he was going to use them to feed the people. After he blessed it, he still gave it to them, go feed the people, right? They couldn't get out of it, right? So even though, they saw the problem, he says, no, now y'all feed them. And he said, but before we work this miracle, what I need y'all to do is just settle the people down. And after you get them settled down, he prayed over the bread. He blessed the bread. He blessed the fish. And then he gave it to the disciples, and they gave it out to 5,000 people. Now, the process that was bypassed is that they never caught the fish. They never cleaned the fish. They never cooked the fish. He bypassed the process. Right? He bypassed the whole process. They never baked the bread. They never rolled the bread. They never did anything with the bread. He bypassed the whole process and blessed them with what they needed. But that wasn't the first time he did that. When he turned the water into wine,
right? Brother Branham said eventually it would have become wine. I mean, it would have went through, you know, went through the grapevine and went through the grape. And then eventually, you know, they would have took it off the ground of the vine. They would have let it ferment. They did all these things. I mean, got the juice out, let it ferment, and it would have became wine. But when he turned the water into wine, he actually bypassed the process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, the spoken word bypasses the process of laying on of hands. Amen. Healing bypasses the process of needing medication. The rapture bypasses the process of death. Huh? The body change bypasses the process of old age. Deliverance will bypass the process of a 12-step program. And don't tell me it won't. Ask my brother-in-law. Amen. He never went to no program, but deliverance bypassed the process. Huh? Deliverance from cigarettes will bypass the process of needing a patch or having to chew some nicotine gum. Right? An unexpected check can bypass the process of extra work. You can be hired without having an interview. You just bypass the process. Huh? Amen. You can be promoted without receiving necessary approvals. You bypass processes. That's the God that we serve. He is able to bypass processes. I'm taking the limit off of my God tonight. Whatever we need, God's got it. Amen. I'm completely under expectation for some more process to be bypassed. I'm taking the little that we got and I'm putting it in the hands of the Lord. And I want to say it's little, because when you really look at the prices of everything they got out there, it's like, man, we ain't got enough. But yeah, we do. We got Jesus in the mix. Amen. And when we just take it and put it in his hands. Now, we keep giving. We keep doing everything we can. But, Lord, this is in your hands. We're going to watch God do some things. He's already done some great things. He's already done it. Now, I mean, the testimonies that we heard here tonight, we ought to keep reminding ourselves of what God has done. Right? And I'm just under expectation for some more. And I love when we get a chance to brag on our God. We get a chance to brag on, and like I said, when I look at that scripture, amen, he didn't just meet the need, it was leftovers. And that's what I'm talking about. We're going to have leftovers. Oh, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Can I just read one more quote here? What is that in thy hand? The prophet says this, Moses was going down to take over. What a sight that was. And when he got down there, he took this old stick, the only thing he had in his hand, and overcome Egypt and led the children of Israel and fed them by the same stick till they went to the promised land. Amen. An old dry stick. You might not have very much in your hand. You might not even be able to whistle. But whatever you got in your hand, let God have a hold of it and he will bless it. Amen. You can't do no more and testify to your neighbor. If you can't do no more than raise up your hand and say, God, I accept every word of it. Take what's in your hand and do what you can for the glory of God. So there was a little boy went to see Jesus, and he had four or five little biscuits and some fish in there. Now, in the little boy's hand, it wasn't very much. But once in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, he blessed it and fed 5,000. The little thing that you got may be a little spark of faith laying down there that you believe that he raised from the dead. It isn't very much to you, but turn it loose one time in a testimony. Turn it loose one time in a testimony. And that's what many of y'all did tonight. You turned it loose one time and watch what God do. He said, turn it loose one time in a testimony. He says, it might be the cause of hundreds of people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You who are sitting there sick or crippled, and you got a little speck of faith, turn it loose tonight and say, Lord Jesus, this is all I got to trust your word, and here I come. It's up to you to take, amen, care of the rest of it. God will take care of the rest of it too. You just turn it loose and let him have it. What kind of an Adam did Jesus turn loose then? He taken fish. Not only did he feed them with raw fish, a living fish, he fed them with cooked fish and cooked bread. Amen. Where he got it, I don't know. Anyhow, he fed them and they ate it. Jesus did that in his day. That's just not just a good story for us to look at. He's able to bypass processes, even now. When he turned the water into wine, you know, we know that that was also a time where he bypassed processes. I heard a testimony here recently. You know, it's out there on the internet. Brother Tim Humes gave the testimony. He was talking about a brother that was in his church. And his brother used to go to the Branham Tabernacle, and he was from a particular church, and he had never gone to the Branham Tabernacle. It was his first time going. And he walked in there, and it happened to be communion night. And they were taking communion. And so as they were there taking communion, the brother walked up to take his communion. And he says when he got up, he heard Brother Neville tell Brother Branham, he says, Brother Branham, we're completely out of wine. And there's a lot more people got to come up here to take communion, but we are out of wine. We don't have no more wine in the back. So the brother, he heard Brother Branham, you know, pretty much tell Brother Neville, said, Brother, don't worry, let's just pray. He said he reached over Brother Neville, Brother Branham got Brother Neville's hand and he just said a simple prayer underneath his breath. Nobody really heard it. He said, but the brother, you know, said he know he was supposed to have his eyes closed during the prayer. He know that was the right thing to do. He says, but he just couldn't keep his eyes closed. And it says, and while Brother Branham said this simple prayer, he says he saw the communion glasses fill up from the bottom. What happened? God bypassed the process of making the wine. God bypassed the process of going back and pouring the wine. God filled it up right there from the bottom. That's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huh? Church, I tell you what, I'm under expectation for my Lord Jesus to bypass some processes. He's already started. Amen. God richly bless you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. My. Let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Musicians, y'all can stay where you're at. We'll just close out. Amen here. Father, we just thank you for just everything that has happened here in this place tonight. The many testimonies that we have heard that just shows that you are in the midst of your people doing mighty things. The prophet called them paradoxes. They're unbelievable, but yet they're true. They're incredible things, but they're true. Father, we just worship you. We adore you. We praise you for just your mighty hand at work. Thank you, Lord, for the jobs that you have provided. Thank you for the cars that you have provided. Thank you, Lord, for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for using us in ways that we just never imagined. Oh, God, just even hearing the testimony of how our sister prayed for another lady and she was healed of cancer. That is that's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The reason that they ask her to pray is because they know the faith that is there. And, Lord, we know that the devil don't like these things. The devil will fight in every way he can. But, Lord, as we just continue to surrender ourselves and amen to you, we're looking for you just to get glory and honor out of everything that we do. And Father, one great thing that I know that you've done is that the money that you've allowed this church to accumulate in these 7 months, Lord, tonight we don't want to just keep it in the bank, but we want to give it to you. And we're asking, oh God, that you would multiply it the same way that you multiply the fish and the loaves, that God, you would just bypass processes. Lord, not that we'll stop giving to you. There are other things that we can give towards, but Father, but for the church and for the school, we're giving you praise for it already being done. And Lord, we are under expectation for great things to happen. We don't know how, we don't know when, but we'll continue to worship you in the midst of it. We heard that tonight, that as people were going through their trials, they just kept persevering. They kept, Lord, they kept the faith. And, Lord, in the midst of that, you honored that. So, Father, we'll continue to do what you've asked us to do. And we know that you'll do the exceeding, you'll do the abundant, you'll do the above all we can ask or think. So, Father, I just pray that your blessings would continue to flow through this church. We have seen how you have certainly enlarged our territory. Amen. We're walking into places that we never even thought that we could walk. But God, it's none other than your mighty hand at work. We thank you for that. And every trial that you allow to come is just the tender hand of Jehovah. Amen. Pushing us into the place where you want us to be. So we thank you for every trial. We thank you for every test. We thank you for every tribulation. We give you praise in the midst of it. And Lord, we know that we'll be overcomers. Amen. Because we'll overcome not only by the blood of the Lamb, but by the words of our testimony. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in the midst of your people. Thank you for this time that we've been able to share together tonight. And Lord, we leave here encouraged and strengthened by your word. And just trust that you would bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday. Lord, all the things that you have planned for us, the time of prayer, Sunday school. And Lord, the speaker that will speak, bless. Amen. Brother Yvonne, Lord, anoint him afresh even right now. Give him the words to speak to this church. You know exactly what we stand in need of. And God, as I would travel there to Jamaica, we pray that you would go before us and that you would bless our trip. And that you, God, would just bless, amen, the meeting that we'll have there at Brother Reed's and the other minister that will be coming. Lord, just use them in a mighty way. May you get all the glory. May you get all the honor. May you get all the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just encourage somebody. Tell them, expect God to bypass the process. Expect God to bypass the process. Amen. 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 We'll have the brothers come, amen, to dismiss you. God bless you, church.